Everyone, my name is DP, your Accessibility Collective Coordinator, and you are listening to All Access Pass on CITR 101.9 FM. We are broadcasting from Vancouver on the unceded territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people. In the studio today, I am joined by my Accessibility Collective members, Lydia.
Hi.
And Nicole Lee. Yeah. And we're also joined by our podcast coordinator, Alex, who is handling the switchboards for us.
Taylor Byram, and I'm the owner and operator of Taylor Heart Design, which is a handmade fashion line for kids with special needs.
Great. And how did you get involved in this field?
Well, I'm a Kwantlen grad from the fashion program, and in our last year of school, we have to design a line of clothing for a niche market, and this was actually my project in school. So once I graduated school and had worked in industry, I decided to bring my line to the marketplace.
Great. And how did you end up doing this project in the first place? Can you tell me a bit about that process?
So with Kwantlen, we have to write this big paper before we enter our final year of the degree for fashion design. And that paper is very much a self-reflection. And during that process, I realized that I wanted to design clothing that made a difference in someone's lives. It made a social impact. And, it just helped people. So through volunteering at BC Children's Miracle Weekend and a personal experience, I came up with the idea to do this adaptive clothing line.
What first got you into the adaptive clothing line? I see that there's pillows and backpacks now, but how did that begin?
It started as strictly clothing. So I think my final line had a dress and a couple of shirts and two dresses and like a pair of pants. But it just started to really evolve after I took it to the marketplace with client feedback and what they were really looking for. So that is how I design, is a lot based on clients, and the pillows and backpacks were ideas from them.
Great. Okay. And can you tell me a bit about maybe some individual pieces of clothing and what it is that makes them adapted to kids who need feeding tubes and such?
Sure. So one of my best sellers is our adaptive hoodie. And that was born out of this idea that it was really difficult for kids to feed in public, and that hoodies, you know, who doesn't love a hoodie as a child? So we designed this hoodie that has a placket going down the sort of diagonal across your side. And that allows parents to unsnap that placket in public and hook their child up to a feed. And the child then doesn't have to lift their shirt or take their shirt off while they're out and about or at school or on a playground, etc. So it's that whole self, you know, confidence and feeling good in their clothes while they're having their, you know, medical hookup to either a feeding bag or even insulin pump or anything like that.
Great. Okay, yeah. All right, so leaning into that a bit more, I notice that your products are nice looking and not ugly, like a lot of adapted clothing. Could you talk to me a bit about that?
Sure. So with the clothing line, I really wanted it to be something that kids wanted to wear and something that parents really felt good putting their kids in. When I did my research for the brand, it was a lot of like plain and just not like exciting clothes. And because I come from a fashion design background, it was a top priority that this stuff be functional, stylish, and boost that self-confidence for both child and mom or caregiver.
All right. I have I'm moving down the list. Could you walk us through sort of how you developed an individual piece in your collection? So beginning with maybe consultation and ending with it appearing in stores.
Oh my, okay. So the process behind my designs is I either myself or a client will have an idea. And if it's me having the idea, I will start choosing what type of pattern that I want to use, so the actual paper pattern to make the garment, I will do my research on what the adaption requires, depending on if it's a feeding tube or a tracheotomy tube or a wheelchair, whatever the equipment needs. And then I will make a prototype. I will sometimes then ask either one of my brand reps or a client who voiced interest in the past if they would like to test the item. If that happens, I'll send the item off. They will test it, give me feedback. I will then make any adjustments to pattern, and then we will go right into the marketplace on Etsy. If a client has the idea, it's a little bit more back and forth. I usually have them do measurements on their child or themselves, and we will go back and forth. That way, they may, again, get a prototype or a test piece, give me that feedback, and we will move on. It does depend, of course, on the complexity of the item. The pillows, for example, I did those all based on measurements, did up a mock-up to figure out the sewing behind it, and then we immediately put it up on Etsy to sell. So that one was a really quick turnaround, but a garment that's new is definitely a bit more lengthy in process.
Great. And when you say quick turnaround, how long would that be?
It can be anywhere, again, depending on like the item, anywhere from a day to a month. The medical rolls that I put out just a few months ago, that was very quick. It was about, again, I would say less than a day from idea to concept. And then we did wait a period of time before we released them just because I was looking for the right time. But the concept went very, very quickly.
Is it you making all of these? How does that work?
Making all of the pieces?
Yes.
Absolutely. It is 100% me. I'm a one-woman show. I do everything from the adaption on the pattern to the cutting to the sewing to the shipping to all of the customer service. You are always talking to me.
Great, yeah. And how do you deal with cost? What kind of cost range are people looking at, and are there ways for that cost to be lowered?
Right now, because the brand is so handmade and local and all Canadian sourced, the price is reflective of that. I do cost everything according to a base size, and then we go up and down from there to try and get the best margin, but also the best deal for the client. It is a lot based on the fabric cost. Is my biggest expense, so that is translated as well. I hope as we grow that that cost can come down, but right now it's handmade, locally sourced, so that is what they're getting, and the quality is going to last so much more.
Great, yeah, and I saw that on your website there was a notice to people to look into options for insurance coverage of the clothing.
Yes. So I don't know the total ins and outs of that, but I have had clients come to me and say that they are able to claim part of the cost of my garments for their insurance. So what I then provide to you is a invoice that then states that this clothing is designed directly for feeding tube, wheelchair, or trach. And then they are able to hand that into their insurance agent. Again, I'm not completely sure like what type of coverage that is or what it's called, but I do, if you come to me and say that, I will give you whatever I can to make that happen for you.
Okay, great. do you have a recycled clothing program for those who cannot afford adaptive clothing?
I don't. I feel like this question is asking if I get my clothes back and hand them over. We've never done anything like that, but I would be open to it. I do have a private Facebook group called THD Superfans that people could join. And as kids age out and as Taylor Heart Designs grows, maybe that becomes something we do there where they can sort of do like a buy-in swap or something like that. On my end, to bring things down a bit more, I like to do auctions. So I make one-of-a-kind items and I let people bid on them, and they're very discounted. And then the bidding runs about 24 hours. So that's like sort of a fun way to get Taylor Heart Designs at a little bit of a discount. but hopefully, you know, I'm open to anything in the future. If that becomes a thing that people want, you know, we'll work on it.
And can you tell me a bit about the name of your company? Because it's not quite your full name, is it?
No, it's not. So Taylor is, of course, my middle name, my first name. And then Heart is actually my mom's maiden name and my grandparents' last name. So this line was named after my grandmother, who passed away when I was about 20 years old. And she was what inspired the line and was always for me doing fashion. So it's named for her.
And if you're comfortable with this, could you tell me a bit about what about volunteering made you so passionate about going into this as a career?
Sure. Yeah. So I volunteer every year with BC Children's Hospital Miracle Weekend. So I'm a behind the scenes person. And it was during that time before I went into my fourth year that it sort of just dawned on me that, you know, if Nana had so much issue finding clothes when she was sick, you know, what are these kids that I'm seeing around me right now? What are they going through? Are they having that much trouble? And are parents finding it hard to dress them and care for them and making sure their kids are comfortable? So it just sort of, yeah, it just inspired me. And I wanted to do it for Kwantlen. And then once the line became public at the fashion show at the end of the year, I just got really good feedback and people were excited and people were passionate about what I saw adaptive clothing could be. And that's, you know, very humbling and very exciting. And I did work for about 2 years before we started it, but the ask was always there. People were always going, you know, are you going to start that fashion line? And I finally said, yes, I am. And it became, my full-time occupation since 2015.
Yeah, congrats. That's really amazing.
Thank you.
I'm wondering, like, who is doing similar work or maybe, like, work in an adjacent field? Is there anyone whose stuff right now you're feeling really inspired by or really into in terms of?
Well, because of my aesthetic and the way that I design, I look at mainstream clothes, but at the same time, I have a very specific aesthetic to how I design. So, and even in the adaptive industry, there are adaptive brands out there. There's Tommy Hilfiger, there's Is, which is in Toronto. Even Target has an adaptive clothing line now. And that's great to see. You know, this type of clothing needs attention and it needs to become mainstream. But I try and stay in my own lane and make sure that Taylor Heart Designs is what everyone has, you know, sort of come to want it to be. And I love that people are doing it, and so they should. But I'm very also protective of what I do. So, and, you know, you can only be true to who you are and what your brand is. And I feel like we do that really well. We stay unique and we stay different.
Does your work incorporate people with disabilities into the process?
I think, and I mean, hopefully I answer this the way that you're hoping me to. So I think that Taylor Heart Designs really stands beside this image that I have always had in my mind of two kids playing on a playground. One is medically disabled, whether that's a feeding tube, a wheelchair, or a trach, which are the three things that I focus on, and one is not. They are a, you know, put in quotes, able child. And my goal has always been that both of these kids are on this playground playing together, and they are both wearing Taylor Heart Designs, and you cannot tell the difference. So my vision has always been that my clothing can be worn by everybody, whether it's adaptive or not. So nothing about us without us. We are all in this together, and this clothing is meant for everybody.
All right, that is the end of my questions. Is there anything else that you would like to tell our listeners?
I guess just like to let everybody, of course, know to stay tuned for the bigger kids line that's coming very soon. I'm having someone test it for me this month, and that will be out hopefully by April. And then to, of course, like give us a follow on social media. I have a Facebook and I have Instagram, and they are both at Taylor Hart Designs, Hart, H-A-R-T.
All right. Great. Well, thank you for talking to us today. All right. And that was Taylor Bryam. I would like to say thanks so much for coming out to talk to us. She was a real joy to interview. And hello to Taylor's mom. Thank you for listening.
Hi.
Yeah, so our next interviewee is Jennifer Light Chan. She's a freelance makeup artist, a graphic designer, and a fashion designer. She's hard of hearing, and she met me on a Friday afternoon, everyone, so we know she's really nice already.
Yeah.
Here we go.
My name is Jennifer, and I am from Vancouver. I'm originally born and raised here, so I'm a makeup artist as well as a fashion designer. My demographic ranges from all ages. Yeah, it's different people from all walks of life. Yeah, so there's no demographic for me. So I am a wedding designer. So I do bridal stuff, like make custom wedding gowns is one of them. And then we also do designer style. I work with a designer. So it's at an atelier here in New Westminster.
Great. Can you tell me about your internship at Redress?
My role, I was a marketing intern there. So I did marketing stuff. So like I like marketing.
Yeah.
So I don't think I need to explain it. It's marketing. I think everybody knows what it is. Marketing, like Facebook, Instagram, Stitch is one of them. And Adobe stuff, like graphic design, yeah.
And so you work in graphic design?
Some of it. For like my website, that is some of the stuff is graphical. I don't think I put graphic in there, but I have previous work that were in graphic design. So.
Okay, cool, yeah.
Yeah, because I did many things in graphic, but I don't think my website has any graphic in it, but before I did graphic work, like I study fashion. It's because I study fashion, it's because there was also graphic design in it.
Yeah.
I didn't know what I wanted to study when I was in, I think when I was
most
in
days I go out and walk.
Like senior year, I think. Like I had a confusion. Mm-hmm. Like I like fashion and I also like graphics.
Okay.
So I knew in fashion I could also do graphic design. Mm-hmm. So it gave me that knowledge as well. So I can do both. Being hard of hearing is really difficult for me to survive in the fashion industry, especially because everyone will judge you for who you are, and I don't necessarily know why, but I guess it's all about appearance, all about marketing, all about PR, all about who you are on the outside, and nobody looks on the on the deeper surface. Okay. Like, you know, the deeper surface is like the deeper level. Mm-hmm. Normally, people just look on the surface. They already judge you right on the cover. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. So, I don't have the perfect body or the perfect, like, hearing or whatever. Because I don't walk very well either. Because my leg isn't even that strong.
Okay.
Like, on my, like, right leg. Mm-hmm. But yeah, but it doesn't matter. It matters about you're staying true to yourself and who you are, and not like give up and just keep going. That's the only way.
That seems like a great answer to me.
It's just who I am, so I include it on there.
Yeah,
because
sure.
I think it's necessary to share a bit about yourself and who you are on your website, because sometimes a lot of people hide themselves. It's not easy. You have to put a lot of courage and you have to grow in order to put it on that website and be more like open-minded. So that's why I put it on, because it's part of, put it on there. So it's part of who I am. So that's why I put it on that website. And
Okay, so you mentioned, I didn't write this one, sorry. You mentioned that your mentor, Oz Zandia, has hearing loss as well. Can you tell us what that was like as you were finding your voice in the fashion and makeup industry?
It comes back to that growing up. Mm-hmm. I never really had like a that many people with hearing loss in my classroom or like studying in post-secondary and eventually Blanche. But I may have another student who were like me, but we probably not like get along or in other grades or so there would be like one from elementary and then another one or two from secondary school. That's all I had that had hearing loss. So I never really knew there was a community out there. Like, a lot of people had hearing loss. And I grew up very sheltered. So my parents were very protective of me. And they were always constantly worrying about me. So I never knew the broader side, of what was happening around me growing up. Until I went to Blanche and I met Oz, she has a very different personality than me. Okay. So she had a hearing loss, and according to she never really mentioned much about her hearing loss, because that does not affect her career.
Okay.
She had a very successful career as a professional bridal and makeup artist. And fashion as well. She works in the fashion industry and do fashion makeup. She's also an agent makeup artist for her. So I saw her as like a role model to me, because I never had someone who would like have a career that I could look upon to for myself, because I struggled. I have a fashion background. I come from a fashion background. I've been doing fashion since I was 15 years old. So when I met Oz, she was like, oh my God, she had this successful career. She could do all of this with her hearing loss. But of course she had according to her website, her mother is also deaf.
Okay.
So she had she knew more about the hearing loss community than I did.
Okay, and she had...
Yeah, so okay. I did not. I'm the only one in the person who has a hearing loss in my family.
Okay.
But I'm not the only one who has disability, but the only one who has hearing loss in the family. So, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I had to navigate it, most of it, myself. Throughout elementary, secondary, college, I care about other people, so more than I care about myself. But I realized that I have to focus on myself in order to focus on other people. So in the meantime, I spend a lot of time in my own way to get to where I am today. So I had a very complex career to this day. Yeah. But it's still moving forward. It's growing. Since I went to makeup school, it changed all that.
Okay.
Yeah, it changed all how my perspective of how I'm moving forward, what am I going to do in my career. But now I'm very clear in what I want to do. So it took me 3 years to figure out how, 2.5 years. It took me 2.5 years to figure out, what I wanted to do, with my career and all the stuff I learned. So when I came back,
join us on Thursday, May 16th from 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. PST for the 5th annual Access Day and enjoy 10 straight hours of programming produced around the theme Accessibility in Our Community. Pieces were contributed from radio stations across Canada. There will be live performances by Greg Labine and Christina Sheldon out of the Vancouver Adapted Music Society. You can tune into your local campus and community radio station or stream online at citr.ca.
Hello, everyone. My name is DP, your Accessibility Collective Coordinator, and you are listening to All Access Pass on CITR 101.9 FM. We are broadcasting from Vancouver on the unceded territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people. In the studio today, I am joined by my Accessibility Collective member, Lydia. Lydia, you want to say hi?
Hi.
And our podcast coordinator, Alex, who is handling the switchboard for us today. So today's show... Oh, and then we also have Marco.
Hi.
So today's show is a very fun one, and I think you're definitely going to want to tune in because we are sharing stories and a panel discussion on adaptive technology and fashion. And now we are going to get into our panel discussion on, of course, adaptive technology and fashion. And we have three panelists here in the studio. So we're going to get each of them to introduce themselves. So panel number one, do you want to introduce yourself?
Hi, DP.
Hi.
My name is Kevin Chia. If anybody out there is an avid listener of the show, you might recognize me. I used to participate more, but I've just been missing for a few months. A little bit about myself. I've been at UBC for a long time. I did my undergrad out here at a Bachelor of Arts in English and History, and then I later went on to law school. I was called to the bar in September of 2016, became a corporate lawyer, and nowadays I'm a business owner. A bit about my disability. I was born hard of hearing. I effectively have no hearing in my right ear, and I have about 30% of my left ear. So I wear a hearing aid in my left ear.
Hi, I'm Allison. And I am a master's student and at Athabasca University. I am part of the collective, which is awesome. I have a learning issue, which is a hidden disability, but doesn't stop me from doing a lot of stuff.
Hi, everyone. My name is Yat. Contrary to most people in this room, I did not go to school at UBC. I went to SFU and I studied communication. That was many years ago, but currently I'm working for a nonprofit organization called the Western Institute for the Deaf and Hard of Hearing, where I manage and lead their communications and marketing efforts. I was born with profound hearing loss on both ears. I also have atresia, a condition where I have really small outer ears, which requires me to wear prosthetics right now. And I also had bone anchor hearing surgery when I was 12 years old. So I wear a bone anchor hearing aid on my right ear. So right now I can only hear on my right side.
Great. And according to you guys, can you give us a quick rundown on what adaptive technology is?
That's a great question, Lydia. So for me, adaptive technology and fashion would be just things that understand my unique context and you know, in some way or other fit around my disability and how I live. So I guess it would be as simple as, you know, a hat that fit around my hearing aid or a helmet that fit around my hearing aid, things like that.
Adaptive technology for me is having a computer or any type of adaptable technology that helps my quality of life. So that could include having a computer or a tape recorder in class. So it is, it will help me learn, help my quality of life.
That's a great answer, and Lydia, a great question as well. I think adaptive technology to me is an umbrella term that houses technology and assistive devices that allows someone to really be able to use technology to adapt to their current situation, given their circumstances. For myself, I think, you know, an adaptive technology is something like an alarm clock with a bed shaker that helps me wake up when I don't wear my hearing device at night because I can't hear anything, or a system, a notification system where if someone knocks on the door and I'm not wearing my hearing aid, a alarm goes off or a flashing light goes off or a bed shaker wakes me up at the middle of the night knowing that someone's outside the door waiting for me.
Great answers, everyone. When you were a kid, were you into fashion?
So we'll start with Allison, maybe.
When you were a kid, were you into fashion?
I was very much into fashion, but I was such an awkward child to begin with, and I went to a private school, and at that time, people are going to laugh at me, whatever. Because all of the other girls were wearing those wickedly high platform shoes and wickedly high heels, I wanted to wear them, but I constantly fell because I was so clumsy. Mm-hmm. It was not a good style.
And how about you, Yat?
For me, when I was younger, I thought I was into fashion. Maybe I was, but I would dress up like someone that, you know, mix and match the worst things ever onto my body. Yeah. And no color, you know, matching at all. I would wear, like, khakis with, you know, long, you know, tapper shirts. That is, you know, over my hands and fingers. And I thought the larger I get, as I grow up, I would fit into those shirts, but I guess I didn't. But I always looked up to my mother because I think she's very fashionable. I think I let her down when I was younger. I think now I'm starting to get that back and learning from her and from my friends how to dress. And I think now I'm a little bit more fashionable, slightly.
And how about you, Kevin?
I can sum up fashion in my youth with one phrase, metal band. So the metal band actually came about because I was really insecure about wearing my hearing aid growing up. I didn't want people to see it and treat me differently. So I grew my hair out. And I also played a guitar, and it just seemed logical to go all the way and start a metal band with my friends. So I dressed all in black. There were bullet belts. We played shows live. I probably damaged my hearing more on stage. And it was a great time. Nowadays, it's different.
That's great. But my question, I guess, for that is further. Have you ever had any challenges finding the right clothing or accessory related to your disability?
Yeah, I'll answer that first. So my disability is, you know, I feel that I am lucky that my disability still does not require too much in the way of accommodation. It's right. Just a hearing aid in my ear. Mm-hmm. However, I can tell another story. I've been wearing just, I guess, the standard hearing aid for most of my life, which has a clear ear mold and a flesh-toned hook behind the ear. And I guess the intention, most people just want to hide the technology as much as possible. Mm-hmm. They want it to blend into their skin. And I guess you could say I went from extreme to extreme. I went from having long hair and hiding it to getting into law school. I still had long hair then, and I did okay in my first year. I got hired downtown, and I don't remember who told me, Kevin, get a haircut. You're going downtown. So I got a haircut. It felt really weird to show my hearing aid for the first time, and then I got used to it, and then I grew to love it. And then I remember going to get my new hearing aid. You know, you get a new one maybe every 2 or 3 years, and it was at the Western Institute of the Deaf and Hard of Hearing, which is where Yad currently works, and my audiologist showed me all the colors, and there's flesh tone, there's purple, there's sparkly ones, and there's black, and I got a completely black one and a completely black ear mold. And I remember she said at the time, we're going to have to custom order this. This is going to be really, really apparent. Like, everyone is going to see it. And I said, that's cool, you know? What do I have to hide? That's my story.
It's so amazing, Kim, because like yourself, growing up, I had really long hair. I covered my hearing aids. I covered my prosthetics because I didn't want people to see. And that was my part of being adaptive to the society, is hiding. But until I got, you know, a shorter haircut and just being free and being myself, I felt like my career was able to lift off that way, because now I'm truly myself and no different. And about our question here, it's just so important to find yourself, and it's so important that, you know, adaptive technology and fashion helps us to work in society.
Great stuff. So what are your thoughts on designers or real estaters like Tommy Hilfiger coming up with custom and adaptive clothing lines for diverse abilities?
I think,
Allison, what is your thought?
I think it's great. Like, just being able to have clothing that is, like, a design label, I take it, like, and being able to say, yes, I'm wearing Tommy Hilfiger. Yes, I have a disability, but look, I can wear the same clothing as, or the same designers as everybody else, and make me look as normal as possible, right?
Growing up, I always had these shirts where I had really tight crew necks, and they were really hard for me because if I put them on with my prosthetics or hearing aids, it might fall off, and it's just a big nuisance. And especially when I'm trying to change, whether I'm going to the gym or something, they might fall off, and that's very embarrassing and awkward. Just to see Tommy Hilfiger recognize that and to create shirts and fashion that are adaptable for people that are like myself, those who have a cerebral palsy or on wheelchair or whatnot, it's just so amazing, and it's just so uplifting to see as a as a community person, to see that in society.
Very well said. How about you, Kevin? What's your thoughts?
Those were some really good observations. Yeah. I'm going to approach it from a different angle. I think that this new rise in, you know, major designers tackling such a, you know, something that's still won't be capturing like a huge part of the market, right? It's a very specialized kind of clothing still. It's very specialized kind of clothing lines. Mm-hmm. This is really, I think I see it as part and parcel of the rise of online retailing. Mm-hmm. Because with online retailing, you no longer, Tommy Hilfiger doesn't have to worry about where can I reach these folks who need these special kinds of clothing, who need these diverse, you know, articles of clothing. He can just place them online and you reach the world, or at least wherever your company is shipping to, that kind of the world. So it's amazing. It's great.
Well said. How about when you were a kid, and did you use any sort of adaptive technology like computers and other learning aids? So Kevin, we'll go with you first.
Yeah, so the major one was closed captioning. So, you know, the beginning, when I was born in 1988, growing up, we had those old fuzzy TVs of rabbit ears. And I remember there were certain shows that had closed captioning, and those were the ones I loved. The Simpsons had it. Frasier had it. The combination of those two shows probably explains a lot of why I am the way I am today. And then technology became amazing. Computers came around. YouTube came around. Mm-hmm. Captioning came around. Captioning that was automatic came around, where I didn't have to wait for, you know, people to watch a show in a significant amount, and then they would, the captioning society would decide, okay, we'll give this show captioning. I could just click auto caption and anything, and that technology got better over time. So my life is just, I've seen my ability to watch and enjoy media go from no to anything. Life is good.
I did use a lot of adaptive technology, like computers, when I was a kid, because I, like, when I was tested when I was really little, they found out that I need, like, I have really poor written output issues. So physically writing is difficult. I am a lot slower in writing if I have to write something long than an average person. So having a laptop solves the problem, because it's just pressing a button and then you get a letter. When laptops first came out to being popular, they were clunky and big, and I had to lug it to school, this clunky big thing on my back. Now, like, a laptop is so much smaller, so much lighter, so much easier. I'm not separated from my peers. My peers in university are more likely to be using computers just in general, and using computers for, like, writing papers and all of that. So I'm one of the crowd, which is nice. And note-taking, like, because it's adaptive technology, I can also get online lecture notes, which solves the problem of actually making lecture notes by myself, which is so much better for me. I like it.
For me, I was kind of like Kevin as well. I relied heavily on closed captioning, but I was a sports junkie, so I always get the wrong kind of caption for sports, live sports TV, because they never do it properly. And it's not their fault sometimes, because of the names, and some, especially in hockey, they have Russian players back then, quite a bit of them, and they always get the names wrong, but I can still remember some of them. One of the adaptive technology I used in school was the FM system. I hated it, because that meant everyone else would know that, hey, that one person, that one kid in the corner, the Chinese kid over there, the new immigrant, he's hard of hearing, and he's requiring our teacher to wear something different. So I felt like a nuisance, and I felt like it was me embarrassing myself and being awkward as well. So socially, I wasn't too interactive. So growing up, it was more of, you know, okay, well, maybe I wouldn't use it because I don't want people to know that, so I kind of stopped using that FM technology. The FM system is something that a teacher will wear, and you, the user like myself, will wear a cable and a telecoil that would plug into my hearing aid, where I would hear directly from the source.
How about now? Like Kevin, you mentioned YouTube and Netflix and things like that are a little bit better, but do you use any unique adaptive technology that is more easier?
So this is an interesting answer. I had access to some of the devices that Yad is alluding to. We share such a similar set of difficulties or challenges. But my hearing loss was, it was right in the cusp of needing it. And I had that choice. And so I refused to use the FM. Yeah. And I made life a lot harder for myself. But I was just a really, really stubborn kid. I was always getting so many pieces of technology, and they just sat in my drawer at home, and they wasted away. And I just wore my hearing aid, and I hid it under a hearing aid. I hid it under my long hair. Nowadays, though, hearing aids have come so, so far.
Yeah.
Back then, if I wanted my hearing aid to connect to a music device, there was a third-party thing that was also running out of battery. If I wanted, you know, basically, I'm wearing a $5,000 computer on my ear that can intelligently, you know, lower certain voices in a crowd depending on whether or not I talk to them more. And when my iPhone starts calling, it immediately tethers by Bluetooth to my hearing aid. It's amazing what a hearing aid can do now compared to when I was a kid. It's also water resistant now.
Mm-hmm.
imagine that. When I was a kid, when it started to rain, I'd run for cover. I'd always get so sad. But nowadays, I just walk around. It's great.
You know, these are certain things that people don't realize. We, being hard of hearing, and we wear hearing aids, have issues with, and we are always so much scarred in a way. Because I myself was, because growing up, my hearing wasn't that advanced. And when I wait in the bus stop for a long period of time, and it was raining on Saturday, you know, it's Vancouver for a reason. I get so scarred and I get so anxious because I'm like, when is the bus going to come? Because I can't stand here any longer, or else I have to shell $5,000 for a new hearing aid or something.
Allison, do you want to add anything?
It was mostly like using computers for school, but so I didn't have to worry about that as much, but I did have to worry about like stigma and being seen as a separate human being.
And what are your thoughts? What do you think the future will bring with these devices? Meaning in more like decorative to more advanced.
Oh, I've been waiting for this question. One of my favorite video game series growing up is this video game series called Deus Ex, which is Latin for, you know, God in, but Deus Ex Machina, God in the Machine. And it's a series about, I mean, it's a series where you play a futuristic cyborg dude who has lots of things called augmentations. So you can, you know, augment your hand and get blades out of your hand. You can get super sight, super hearing, all of these things. And, you know, I played a whole bunch of video games growing up, but that video game series, when I played it for the first time, I thought, this is who I am. This is what I might be in the future. I might have blades coming out of my hands. And my hearing might also, you know, be completely fixed. It might even become better than human, which is sort of the point of the series. It was transhumanism, which is to transcend your biology, right? Live 200 years, jump three you know, floors up. Yeah, anyway, I'm done. That's enough nerding out on video games.
How about you, Yat?
I can't wait to see Kevin jump three stories up and on his blades and with his hearing aids and be like, I have bionic hearing and I hear most things that you guys don't. But no, I just love technology right now because just roughly when I got these new hearing aids 2 years ago, I was able to hear on my Bluetooth. I could stream, I could listen to radio directly from the source. It was such an amazing moment that I've never, ever experienced before and never thought I could, because when I was younger, I always pretended I could wear headphones, but I couldn't. So I just put them near around the hearing aids at the time, but it couldn't come close to the experience that a normal person with normal hearing does. So it was very different, but I just love what technology is doing right now. There's Bluetooth capabilities. One day even, I think a hearing can be implanted into your head, so there won't be any worry about getting your hearing aids wet. It'll just be like, I'll turn them off on my phone right now. I'll have selective hearing if I wanted to.
And having these technologies, especially me for you, were you ever bullied by your peers?
Yeah, I was, but I don't think it was because of the technology. I think it was because I was just an obnoxious kid. And so I attracted a lot of attention from other boys. I wouldn't say it was because of the hearing aid. Remember that I hit my hearing aid. I deserved what I got in terms of bullying.
How about you, Allison?
I was bullied a lot. To a point where I was a selective mute for 5 years. No, you can't. You can't quiet me down half of the time. So I was one of the first kids in my private school to have a computer, like just have a computer on my desk. And of course, these desks were not big enough for me to have the computer and my textbook open at the same time. So I was obviously separated from the group. Mm-hmm. I looked different because I had this computer and this huge backpack. I had one kid try to steal my computer twice in the same day from me. And I was like, I need this. Like, piece of technology, otherwise I'm not going to be able to learn. I didn't find my parents about like needing help or needing the resources or computers. I fought this the students to actually like needing this adaptive technology. Mm. I now go like, well, I want to look normal as possible, and there's so you'll see people will still see it in me now, like trying to pass as normal. And I did try to pass as normal by trying to write down my notes, physically write down my notes, and that didn't help.
When I was younger, I was certainly bullied quite a bit because of the way physically I looked, because I had small external outer ears. I wore a hearing aid that wasn't as discreet as I have right now. It was a headband that I had to wear. Mm-hmm. And being a new immigrant going to elementary school in the 90s, you know, being a minority as well made me an easy target for people. So I remember being pushed around, not only in the gym, but in classrooms when teachers were out, you know, papers thrown at me and stuff, whatnot. So, you know, I remember those very vividly, and they'll live with me forever. But I'm just so glad that society now is so accepting, and friends and family are so accepting that yeah. I've been able to be more empowered to be myself and to share with other people that it's okay to have a hearing loss, it's okay to live with disabilities, because there's so much, you know, so many things out there that are better for you, and that you can also be empowered.
Thank you for that. So what are your thoughts on adaptive devices or technology viewed as a fashion accessory?
Oh yeah, amazing. It's the leap from me wanting to hide it to me wanting to show it off. I can't wait for, like, Dior hearing aids.
I wear a phone clip from the Bone Anchor hearing aid company called Cochlear, and I just clip it on my shirt, or like a lapel, and all my music and stream comes from my phone to the phone clip and into my hearing aid. What I can also do is so amazing is I can mute my surroundings and just listen to the source. And sometimes I'm on the phone, and when I'm on the phone talking, people are like, who are you talking to? Because I'm kind of looking dead into space or wherever I'm going, and I'm like, oh, hey, look at this, I'm on my phone. And they're like, they pause for a good like 4 or 5 seconds. They're like, what? I don't have this. Can you share this with me? I'm like, yeah, sure, if you get a Bone Anchor hearing aid.
I think it's great. Just even though I don't wear hearing aids or like need glasses, I think it's something. And like people, I've seen now people like wear those fake glasses as fashion. Yes. And then like now people want to wear glasses and like or like even sunglasses, like it's a fashion accessory protecting your eyes.
Yeah, no, it's just great that I wear a hearing aid as well, so it's not as fancy as you two may have, but it doesn't even look like a device. People think of it as, you know, a fashion accessory, so I take it, I embrace it. So what devices of adaptive technology would you like to be? You like to see be more fashionable, and yet maybe we can ask you for that first.
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, there's always something I always want, and you know, in terms of fashion, is being able to wear hats and helmets. Mm-hmm. Growing up, I always dreamed about being the current Crosby because I love playing hockey. I always had a stick on my hand, but you know, I could never play professionally because I could never wear a proper helmet.
Right.
And I can't wear a proper helmet because I wear prosthetics, and my current hearing aid is situated where the helmet kind of sits on your head. So if I wear a helmet, I can't hear, and when you can't hear on the ice, that's a very, very tough thing, because or scary, because you can't hear someone skating behind you, and you can't hear your team talk or communicate with you. So, you know, in terms of, you know, fashion / wish list, mm-hmm. I wish there was a helmet that fits me.
I can relate. I'm 23 years old. I don't care about living or dying. I get a bike, and I get a full-face helmet. And the first time I pull on my full-face bike helmet, it just doesn't work. Yeah. It doesn't work with my hearing aid. And it was always a struggle.
I
would wish for better motorbike helmets for people who wear hearing aids, but the risky ones.
So what are the benefits of adaptive technology that is fashionable?
it makes people proud to wear it, and it makes people it helps to battle insecurity, and that's the goal for everybody, I think, disability or not.
One thing I'm really looking forward to is in April when I go on my Asia trip is to be able to fly on a plane and be able to hear the infotainment for the first time. These are certain things that people take for granted when you're flying, but I've never been able to listen to music or watch the movies on the infotainment system because it never kind of plugs into my hearing aid, and I can't wear those headsets because it would be so loud on the plane. So I've been equipped with a multi kind of clip that allows me to plug the headphone jack in there and wirelessly transmit the same music or sound from the infotainment to my hearing aid and be able to hear it directly from the source. So I'm really, really excited about that.
So what are the, what do you think are the disadvantage or problems with fashionable adaptive technology?
Hard question to answer. I don't really think, for me, off the top of my head, I don't see any disadvantages with making the devices that people have to wear anyway sexier, better, you know?
Yeah.
What about you?
I think the major disadvantage really is having to constantly clean the system or check the batteries because, you know, you would wear them and you don't know when they would kind of die on you because they do charge and they do take up quite a bit of battery and usage right now with the technology in place. I mean, that's the only disadvantage I can see. It's mostly positive.
So just to conclude our panel, unfortunately, is there anything that you would like to give your thoughts on before we end the show? What do you think adaptive technology can do better, I guess, in terms of the future and what is working and what is not working?
I really encourage people to look for adaptive technologies like assistive devices for their day-to-day use, alarm clocks with bed shakers, even notification wristbands that you can wear and tie them to your phones so it vibrates. It's just so amazing to have that with you. It's just a really cool tool. That being said, you know, I also encourage people to look for, you know, fashion that helps support the cause. Currently, I'm also on my side hustle, I try to connect fashion and hard of hearing together, which is why I started Acoustic Wear, is to, you know, start up a brand that helps people raise awareness about hard of hearing and people who are deaf. So I have three lines of shirt that says "Pardon Me," with a D that has a little cupping on the hand, a question mark with a hearing aid, "Here I Stand" and "I Am Me." So I encourage you guys to check that out. You can visit me where I work at WIT, Western Institute for Deaf and Hard of Hearing, but also go on acousticwear.com to find more about me as well.
I think to accept the person for who they are and to be able to go with the flow and go with the flow with whatever they need.
I think the future is bright and I'm looking forward to it.
Great. Well, thank you so much to all of our wonderful guests for sharing their experiences and insight here. We're on our way out, but if you're interested in working with us further, shoot us an email at accessibilitycollective@citr.ca.
And thank you to our panelists and guests, Allison, Kevin, Yet, for coming in and talking to us today. Clovis for sending us audio file on his challenges with adaptive and technology, and Aaron for allowing us to interview him.
And you are live now at CITR FM 101.9 in Vancouver. You just listened to our fifth annual Access Day 2019. It was broadcast from CITR FM 101.9 on the unceded ancestral and traditional land of the Hokanemum-speaking Musqueam people. Contributions from community radio stations across Canada that also reside on Indigenous land as well. Thank you. These include CFCR 90.5 FM in Saskatoon, Saskatchewan, and their show, People with Disabilities Speak Out, Physical disabilities and building codes. CJLO, 1690 AM in Montreal, Quebec, and their show, Audio Pen Pals, Accessibility in Community and Occupational Therapy. CJSR, 88.5 FM in Edmonton, and their documentary on Alberta's Persons with Developmental Disabilities Program and Stump Kitchen. CJSW, 90.9 FM in Calgary, Alberta. Their show on accessible airways, the autism spectrum, and psychiatry and parenting. And their show, Bumping Into Walls, about yoga and low vision students. And, of course, us, CITR in Vancouver, Canada, FM 101.9. And how we did the History of Access Day and GAD, Ricardo Wagner at Microsoft, the virtual reality experience in and autism from Toronto, adaptive technology and fashion, the Special Olympics, Muj, who is an artist in Vancouver, David Roach, a comedian in also in Vancouver, Galen Lee, who is a musician out of the United States, and two local musicians, Greg Spokes-Labine, who did rap for us live in studio, and Christina Sheldon, who gave us an interview over the phone, which was awesome. My name is Allison. Oh, and last but not least, two other people who also did an amazing job, both D.P. Lil and Dora Dubber, our volunteer coordinator. My name's Allison. Hope you enjoyed the day. And hopefully you will be listening to something else interesting. So anyways, hope to hear from you guys soon. How do you do, Sam? Auto DJ.